the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Research shows Bitcoin has a low correlation to other asset classes. Crypto prices were smashed over the last week, and Bitcoin is down about 30% from the all-time high of around 1.4 million rand that was reached in March of this year. Those terrified of drawdowns of 30 or 40% should reflect back to the last bear market when Bitcoin dropped 70%. So perhaps there's nothing to be alarmed about regarding the recent drop. Bitcoin's explosive volatility leads many to consider it a pure risk-on asset. However, there's some interesting research coming out of ARK Research suggesting Bitcoin has some risk-off characteristics. Bitcoin, in fact, has a low correlation to other asset classes. Interesting to note that traditional risk-off assets like gold, bonds, and short-term US treasuries have lost about 99% of their purchasing power over the last decade. That's according to ARK. The exception to this is Bitcoin, which has demonstrated its risk-off characteristics, and there's evidence that Bitcoin's price volatility has diminished over time. Unlike modern central banking, Bitcoin does not prioritize price or exchange rate stability. Instead, by controlling Bitcoin's supply growth, the Bitcoin network prioritizes the free flow of capital. As a result, Bitcoin's price is a function of demand relative to supply, and that explains its volatility. It's a subject worth looking into, and to help us do that, we're joined by Jason Welts, digital lead at alternative investment company Geltech. Hi, Jason. It's good to talk to you again. I guess, you've seen this research from ARK Research, and there are some other bits of research coming out of other companies also pointing to the fact that Bitcoin has a low correlation to other asset classes. Yet we still see hesitancy amongst fund managers to seriously look at this as an investment option. Are they making a mistake in ignoring Bitcoin?
Hi, Kieran, and thanks for having me on again. So definitely over the last couple of years, Bitcoin has moved decisively into the mainstream. I mean, most recently, we've seen the launch of ETFs in the US, spot ETFs in particular. And you can essentially hold Bitcoin in your brokerage account just like any common stock or equity. So it's moved decisively into the mainstream, but we haven't really seen much adoption from the largest asset managers in the world, in particular pension funds, which I suppose are the largest stewards of capital globally. And those with the longest investment horizons. They don't really have an obligation to do better than the market, pension funds in particular, only to really match its performance. And as a result, they're really in the business of holding just about everything they can get their hands on and in proportion to their sort of contribution to the global asset universe. And because of that, I really think it's only a matter of time before we see Bitcoin holdings as commonplace and it, to be the norm to hold Bitcoin within a diversified pension portfolio. Either just at a retail investor level or at the large institutional level. Recently we've seen some news come out of Japan that the Japanese government is investigating adding Bitcoin to their state pension, which is actually the biggest pension fund in the world. And already we've seen a couple of smaller pension funds like the state of Wisconsin, and even earlier than Wisconsin's adoption, we've seen some local counties like in the US, like the Fairfax County Police Officers Retirement System and the Fairfax County Employees Retirement System, which have both invested into Bitcoin quite a long time ago, back out in 2019. And those pension funds are smiling at their investment. Up more than 10 times over that time horizon. It's not only pension funds. When you look at kind of asset managers like hedge funds, for instance, story is a little bit more difficult, and it's a little bit more difficult for a lot of them to justify any exposure to crypto. If you're in running a type of fund, a long short fund that tries to isolate specific effects that they expect within the market and to generate returns during up or down markets, it's difficult to hold an asset like Bitcoin that is really quite volatile and at least in the short term correlated to liquidity and most other traditional assets. But the diversification benefits For a small allocation, for a long-only fund, for instance, definitely, I think there's a strong case to hold Bitcoin more widely within the industry. And yeah, much in the same way that gold is held by a lot of these long-only funds for the same reason.
I think the cause for the recent drop in price of Bitcoin is the German government surprisingly selling quite a chunk of Bitcoin onto the market. And also there's been quite a lot of the Bitcoin that was hacked from Mt. Gox back in 2014 has started appearing on the market, and that's created a little bit of a supply overhang. I guess that'll wither away in the coming days or weeks, but we are supposed to be entering into a down cycle for interest rates. It's slow in coming for sure, but it will come. And here again, Bitcoin has historically appreciated in price when interest rates are going up. If this is the case, can we expect Bitcoin prices to rally as we see interest rates come down?
Yeah, I mean, so maybe just on your first point, just the German government actually today, they've moved a little bit more Bitcoin. I think they're sitting on about 38,000 Bitcoin at the moment, which is about $2 billion worth. They moved another 1,000 Bitcoin this morning. So seeming like they'll continue to sell for the near future at least. And also that Mt. Gox Bitcoin coming out, apparently those payments have started moving, though I haven't actually seen evidence of them yet. But these things should largely be priced in by the market at this stage. We've seen Bitcoin crash quite hard while tech stocks and global equities have rallied over the same period. And that generally indicates that this kind of idiosyncratic selling has already kind of played out, and people are already seeing a little bit of a rebound this morning. Hopefully that continues. But yeah, I mean, Bitcoin's prices really are kind of over any short period of time driven by, in my opinion, changes in conditions in global liquidity. So what central banks are doing plays a massive role, at least in the short term. With a lot of characteristics that are shared with gold, this doesn't really come as a surprise. We see over long periods of time that gold prices typically move inversely to interest rate expectations. So if you expect rates to rise, gold typically takes a hit. And the reasoning for that is quite simple. When you can earn a safe return by holding government bonds, for instance, in a high interest rate environment, currently 5-6% risk-free in the US, the attractiveness of holding assets like gold or Bitcoin, for instance, that actually produce no income is a little bit less appealing. But when rates drop, gold and Bitcoin's appeal should rise relative to other assets. And we see that relationship play out over long periods of time. But on the same token, and you've mentioned it earlier as well, Kieran, but Bitcoin does demonstrate a very low correlation to other mainstream assets. But of those mainstream assets, it shares its highest correlation with gold. I think I've made the point that why that is the case. If we see rates start to fall, I know you made the point that crypto prices tend to rise during rising interest rate environments. I'd counter to just say that crypto prices over any medium term rise regardless of what's happening elsewhere. And I think that's a crypto-centric story and a function of it being such a new asset class that people are only beginning to understand its power and potential. But I guess, yeah, what the outlook for prices if rates do fall, I would say actually would be quite good for crypto. But again, there's a lot of uncertainty on the macro front, and that hinges on inflation outcomes and employment outcomes, particularly in the US, who, as we all know, are basically the central bankers of the world, and they drive global liquidity. So if inflation continues to edge down, and employment remains relatively strong as it is currently, rates would probably not fall too dramatically, but they would fall and support asset prices. But if employment conditions suddenly deteriorated quite rapidly and a big recession broke out, rates would need to fall more aggressively. And then the other scenario where inflation remains stubbornly above 3%, rate cuts would be really hard to justify. Now, I think the best case scenario would be rate cuts, would be inflation falling without a large deterioration in employment, where rates can fall gently and support continued expansion of the economy and prices for financial assets. But if either metric doesn't play ball, I think we could be in for some hurt, with equity valuations in tech and AI in particular looking quite overextended by some traditional valuation metrics. I'm rambling a little bit here, but I think one last key point that I'd like to make is that recently when interest rates have risen recently interest rates have risen and stayed high, but despite this, gold has appreciated significantly, even though we've discussed its typical relationship that is inverse to interest rates. And why is this? Well, in my view, it's because the risk that the U.S. government is on an unsustainable trajectory for government debt is growing and growing rapidly. I think a Trump presidency would be one of the final nails in the coffin for the U.S. Financial debt. And that would mean a weaker dollar, which would be bad for global stability and great for hedges against financial the collapse of the financial system, or just the hedges against inflation, like gold or Bitcoin. I spoke a lot there, but hopefully my points came across quite clearly.
Yeah, I think Bitcoin's prices held up pretty well during past crises. You know, you think of Brexit back in 2016. The China-U.S. trade war in 2017 that was initiated when Trump was president of the U.S., the COVID outbreak in 2020, and Ukraine war in 2022. Nothing has been able to seriously derail Bitcoin. And you mentioned there that if Trump is elected president, it might be a trigger for a weakening in the dollar. Do you see Bitcoin holding up as it has done in past crises in an eventuality like that?
Yeah, certainly. I think that those kind of geopolitical risks from a macroeconomic perspective are where Bitcoin and gold would thrive, I think. The past crises you've mentioned, they've all kind of taken place during an environment of deteriorating interest rates, except for the Ukraine war, and maybe the Silicon Valley banking collapse. Which I think are quite interesting, in that they've kind of taken place while interest rates are high and Bitcoin has still done well. I think that the explanation there really is not of interest rates. I think it's more of the fact that Bitcoin had really just gone through some very crypto specific pain in the collapse of Celsius and FTX, etc. And markets were naturally finding a bottom there already. These crises, I don't think, play too much of a part, to be honest, in moving prices either upwards or downwards. The prior crises, like the COVID outbreak, as well as the trade war and Brexit, and the 2018 little brief recession, those were all kind of smoothed over by governments by cutting interest rates and pumping liquidity into the system, which has provided support for Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, you've probably been following, there's been a lot of discussion in the Bitcoin community as Bitcoin being a hedge against financial collapse. And, you know, Bitcoin was formulated, it was developed around that very scenario that the current financial system, the fiat financial system, is unsustainable. You touched on some of the regional banking collapses in the U.S., Silicon Valley Bank, Signature, Silvergate, First Republic Bank, all of these collapses that happened over the last year or two. That prompted a fear of contagion, some arguing that a wider banking collapse was on the cards. There was a momentary dip in price following a surge in prices in Bitcoin when we had these banking collapses. What are we to make of Bitcoin's behavior during these crises? Has it shown itself to be pretty much armor-plated against any form of collapse like this?
Yeah, so I think I've kind of touched on the points I'm going to make in my previous answers, but I think it's maybe a little bit premature to say that Bitcoin was acting as a hedge against financial stability and functioning well in that role during this most recent crisis. I think, honestly, I'm a crypto advocate, but I think it's simpler than that. I think at the time, crypto was already coming off about a year long decline in the wake of the FTX collapse and was finding a bottom. So naturally, the path of least resistance was probably upwards at that stage. And what was the response from U.S. regulators to these banking collapses? Now, typically, the response from the central bank would be to cut rates in these circumstances, but they wanted to show a strong image that they were continuing to combat inflation, which at the time I think was still around 4% in the U.S. Against their target of 2%. So their response wasn't to cut rates, but they basically did something that had the same outcome. And that was to backstop these customer deposit obligations of these banks, which in effect does the exact same thing as cutting interest rates, which is boosts liquidity in the system. There's more money sloshing around. It's got to find a home somewhere, and Bitcoin and gold and a few other assets that are very liquid and not too beholden to the state of the economy, they're all benefited as a result. So yes, maybe aspects of anti-fragility and being a hedge against these risks, but at the same time, there were just kind of fundamental factors in the fact that Bitcoin had already suffered quite a large deterioration in the year prior.
One of the reasons for the latest drop in Bitcoin price we mentioned at the beginning was 137,000 Bitcoin that were hacked from the Mt. Gox exchange back in 2014. Starting to appear onto the market, and that's of course driving the prices down. There's also the sale of the German government's Bitcoin. But if you look at this research from ARK Research, they point out that when the regional banking collapse happened in the United States, where we had all these banks folding, Bitcoin's price actually appreciated 40% during that. So there is evidence here that this is showing some, as you say, anti-fragility. I mean, if you look at this and the potential for a bit of weakening in the dollar, where do you see Bitcoin headed to? What's the outlook for the rest of the year?
So definitely we have these kind of events on the horizon. And I think the big topic that we discussed in our last podcast together was actually this, the Mt. Gox Bitcoin and when they would start hitting the market. I think it's maybe a little bit premature to say that just because the creditors are receiving this Bitcoin that they're necessarily going to sell. The fact that these people held Bitcoin back in 2013 kind of suggests to me that they have a vested interest in the asset, that they are tech forward pioneers. And I don't think the hack of an exchange would have soured their view on Bitcoin entirely. I think a lot of these people will continue to hold their Bitcoin, or they would probably have Bitcoin investments already. That this would just be an addition to their holdings. Definitely some selling pressure is to be expected. And the distributions will be for Bitcoin as well as all of the forks that have taken place over the years. So there's Bitcoin SV and Bitcoin Cash, for instance. I think the selling pressure on those assets that kind of aren't true to the original Bitcoin vision, in my view. I think the selling pressure there will be a lot more pronounced, less so on Bitcoin that is really it's moved on from Mt. Gox, in my view. At the same time, these sales have been on the horizon for a long time. People have known about them for a long time. And I think that should largely already be priced in. The German government sales, on the other hand, have not been priced in for as long of a period of time. And it'll be interesting to see whether they sell their entire stash or if they kind of pull back after some political pressure, which is mounting in the country. So where prices are going to be within the next year kind of depends partly on the German government, depends on the macro environment, and depends on behavior of these Mt. Gox creditors. I shy away from making short-term price predictions. Anything toward 2024, in my view, is a very short-term price prediction, either in my personal or professional capacity. But I always encourage investors to zoom out. If you look at Bitcoin charts over a 10-year period, the dips that felt massive in 2013 or the dips that felt massive in 2017 are essentially just blips on the chart at this stage. And I don't think this current dip it will be any different when we look back at prices in 2030, for instance. So short-term price predictions, as difficult as ever. Medium-term price predictions, I think we are confident that prices will continue to rise over the medium term, which is, in my mind, is about a five-year period.
Yeah, agreed. Looking at 6 months ahead is very, very difficult and very dangerous with something as volatile as Bitcoin. But just give us a sense from Jaltech as an alternative investment company. What has been the appetite from your clients and from the institutional investors for towards Bitcoin? Are they changing? Are they becoming a little bit warmer to the idea of holding at least some portion of their portfolios in Bitcoin or crypto?
Yeah, so I mean, on the retail side of things, we see a lot of excitement in the wake of the new licensing regime. I think it's given the market a little bit more confidence that the crypto operators in the country, not only Jaltech, but the large exchanges, for instance, are doing things in a way that ultimately is keeping the customer's best interests in mind. So definitely, I think we're making headway there on the retail front with people who have been skeptics before starting to come on board the idea of at least diversifying a small share of their portfolio into crypto, taking on minimal risk for the asymmetric payoff. On the institutional front, it's a little bit more tricky. It's not clear. Well, we have our views, but it's not very clear that many institutions locally, at least, are able to hold Bitcoin directly. For pension funds, it is actually exactly prohibited specifically. But there is potential to hold securitized Bitcoin, either foreign ETFs or the securitized crypto products that Jaltech offers. So the institutional uptake has been quite slow so far, but it is we are currently in talks with quite a few institutions, and the hope is that Bitcoin investments will again be normalized going forward.
All right. So we had the launch of spot ETFs for Bitcoin earlier this year. Now, next coming up is Ethereum ETFs. Does there seem to be much appetite for that from the people that you're talking to?
I think so, yes. I think probably even more so than Bitcoin. I think a lot of people have kind of look at Bitcoin as having had a lot of its run already. It's at least in the crypto space, it's the most mature asset. Ethereum is, I guess, quite mature itself in comparison to a lot of assets on the market. But I think Ethereum has a much larger value proposition than Bitcoin does. At least that's my personal take. I think Bitcoin, if you look at it, it's going after the kind of digital gold market. If you look at the price, the market capitalization of gold relative to global equities, I think that's kind of the comparison that I like to draw between Bitcoin and Ethereum. I think Ethereum can power an entire economy, whereas gold acts as a gold and Bitcoin act as stores of value and hedges against financial excess. Whereas I think Ethereum is more of a growth asset and one that will fundamentally change the financial landscape over the longer term.
And at Jaltech, will you be offering your clients an entry point into Ethereum ETFs at some point?
At Jaltech, since 2021, we've offered a debenture offering, so essentially a securitized debt, which is the debt is denominated in crypto. So very similar structure to how gold ETFs work in South Africa. We've since 2021, we've already offered Bitcoin, Ethereum, as well as a diversified basket of currently 15 crypto assets across a number of subsectors in the industry. So that's something we've already been offering. Unfortunately, these assets aren't listed, so you can't go into your brokerage account, and purchase them. But hopefully, in the longer term, that becomes a reality.
Do you see the market opening up for other forms of crypto? We've got Bitcoin, we've got Ethereum ETFs coming out. Do you see perhaps Solana and a few others eventually joining on the ETF bandwagon?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think Solana is probably going to be next. It's had a lot of. There are actually already filings in the US to launch Solana ETFs, but naturally that will only come in time. But yeah, I think eventually crypto will be just like any other asset, and you'll have ETFs of pretty much any crypto you can think of. out in the market.
Final question. Do you think, you've mentioned just a moment ago that a lot of people consider that Bitcoin's run is largely over. I wouldn't say that it's over. The best is behind us, perhaps is a better way to put it. And therefore, people will start looking for the next horse to back.
No, definitely. I mean, yeah. So definitely, I don't think Bitcoin's entire run is over, but I think relative to the rest of the Bitcoin, relative to the rest of the crypto market, I think we'll continue to see Bitcoin lose its dominance. Just 5 years ago, Bitcoin was 90% of the crypto market. Today, it's around 50%. I think that slow slide will continue. It'll eventually level off at some point, I think. But yeah, I don't think Bitcoin has run its course. I think if you want to get into to crypto, dip your feet, Bitcoin is the right place to start. It is the least volatile of the major assets. While it might not have the highest return potential remaining, it's still got very high return potential relative to global equities, for instance.
All right, Jason Wells, thanks very much. We're going to leave it there. That was Jason Wells, digital head of alternative investment company, Jeltec.
Thanks so much, Kieran. It was great to chat.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.